I want you to think about this today in the Sunday school hour. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You ever thought about that? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Nehemiah, in Nehemiah chapter 8, we'll look at some of the verses there, and then we'll just give some points about the thing. Let me just read what I have written down here. In Nehemiah chapter 8, Israel had rebelled against God and gone into captivity. They'd been in captivity for 70 years. God allowed the rebuilding of the temple and the return of some of the captives after 70 years. Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, had a special tenderness for the Jews. 13 years before Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem, he had sent the scribe priest Ezra to reestablish the law and ritual. And then in Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah heard about the ruin of the city and the broken down walls. And in chapter 2, after much prayer, he approached the king asking permission to go and rebuild the walls. In chapters 2 through 6, with much prayer, facing much opposition, you know, Sanballat and Tobiah and these folks were against him all the way. With much prayer, facing much opposition, through ridicule, discouragement, greed, and other things, the wall of the holy city was finished in 52 days. That's a miracle in itself. And chapter 7 shows the registration and organization of the people to serve in the newly rebuilt city. And then in today's text, as we think about and Ezra, Nehemiah, and others of the scribes and the priests were on hand and to read and expound on the book of the law. And by the way, that's a powerful example about what church is all about today. God's people come together and the preacher gets up and he expounds the word of God to change lives, to win souls, to motivate Christians, to put some joy back in the life of maybe some people that have gone through some difficult times. And the Bible says in verse number 8, it says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm sorry, I said verse 8. That's in verse number 10. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I want to say this morning, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, how can we have that joy? What are the sources of joy that God tells us in the Bible will help us to be encouraged, to be blessed, to rejoice in the Lord, to be able to sort of have that spring in our step and a smile on our face and the joy of the Lord in our hearts? And I want you to think about those things with me. I have four or five that I've put down here that I think will be a help to you this week and maybe the rest of your life if you could write down some of these verses or at least the references and maybe make a couple of them memory verses that you can carry in your heart and just remind yourself of. Look yourself in the mirror sometime and say, don't you forget that verse, and quote it to yourself. Get the word of God in your heart and in your life, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. The Bible says in Psalm number 51, we talk about salvation. Of course, that's the main thing. That's the greatest opposition you'll ever have from the devil is him trying to keep you from hearing the gospel and being saved. The devil doesn't want you saved. So the joy of the Lord is in salvation. The Bible says in Psalm number 5, verse 11, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." That's Psalm number 51, verse number 11. Listen to this. Psalm number 21, verse number 1. "The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice." My, how important that is, that we just rejoice in the king. And you know, when the whole world's falling apart, we can know that God's still on his throne. Amen. And we can rejoice in him. And if we're saved, know that we've settled that matter. Know we're on our way to heaven. Got that settled in your life. Then beyond a shadow of a doubt, you can have that joy in your life. Because you've read the book. You know the last chapter. You know we win. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And although you can't lose your salvation, you can't get, let me just check it out here real quick. How many of you say, preacher, I am saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know I'm saved. I can tell you all about it. How many of you know that? All right. That's overwhelming majority, maybe 100%. So you can't lose your salvation. He gave you eternal life, not temporary life. When you get saved, he doesn't put you on a trial basis to see if it's going to work out. When he saved you, when you trusted him, you were heaven bound with the hammer down. You're on your way to heaven. You're gonna arrive there one day, and you can't lose your salvation. But I tell you this, you can lose your joy. It's amazing to me how many Christians are unhappy. They have no joy in their life. They have no spring in their step. They have no smile on their face. They become critical of everything that's going on. Just rehearse in your own mind things that you think about and talk about. Are they really things that reflect joy in your life? Or are they things that say something is out of place? Somehow you're missing the boat. You need to get that joy in your life, that rejoicing. So the joy of salvation, you can't lose the salvation, but you can lose the joy. Psalm number 51, verse 2, here's David's own testimony to that fact. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. You see, you can lose your joy, but it can be restored. It can be restored. Maybe there's somebody in this room today that your joy, you're worried all the time. You're downhearted all the time. You don't have that joy in your life. And why don't you just, instead of living that way and trying to look for somebody or something to blame it on, maybe it is some sickness or problem, or maybe somebody did do you wrong, or maybe the bottom fell out in your finances, or you lost your job, or maybe the 1,001 other things that the devil might hurl at you to try to get you discouraged. And say, why me, God? Start having that pity party. But God said, look, when I want you, you're saved. You're going to go to heaven when you die. You can never lose that. I want to use you. Why don't you just bury those things and have that joy of the Lord in your life? Learn to forgive people. Somebody say, well, yeah, but somebody did me wrong. Well, forgive them. Just get it over with. Why in the world? Why? You say, yeah, but that hurt me. Well, why do you want to live with it on your mind all the time and let it keep on hurting? Right. Forget it. Just bury the thing and go on by the grace of God, I'm going to have the joy of the Lord in my heart, on my lips. I'm going to live for Christ. So that's number one, the joy of salvation. Number two is the joy of service. The joy of service. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 14, the first half of that verse. It says, behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart. My servants. I'm talking about the joy of service. The Lord said, my servants. You know, when you serve God, when you get in there and do something, whether it's volunteer service at the church sometime, cleaning the parking lot or working as an usher or working in the nursery or whatever you're doing, but you have that place of service. You're a group captain in a Sunday school class, or maybe a teacher, and you really put your heart in that thing of service. The Bible says that there's joy in that service. Behold, my servants. Do you hear that word? My servants shall sing for joy of heart. The joy of the Lord, your strength. Matthew 25, 21 says this, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful, there's that word, servant. Amen. Well done, thou good and faithful. Now, it's okay to be an observer, but God's looking for some servants. He doesn't just want you to watch what happens. He wants you to make something happen. He wants you to do something. Amen. In the service of the Lord. And I believe, this is just my personal, I don't have a proof text on this one, but Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe God is certainly pleased when we provide service through the ministry of a local church. And boy, 50 years this church has been going forward. It didn't happen by accident. Some people decided to roll up their sleeves and serve God. And therefore, you have this beautiful location and all the facilities and all the amenities of a good, thriving, local, New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, soul-winning church. And you got all that going for you. That ought to put a little bit of joy in your heart, especially if part of it is happening because you're one of the servants that are making it happen. So in Matthew, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. You say, preacher, I can't do much. Well, God said, God was blessed. And Jesus said, you've been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So it's time, again, I say I don't want to repeat too much the negative stuff, but we've had too many pity parties. We need to be throwing some celebrations of thanksgiving and joy and service and seeing the results. Not everything we attempt to do for God works out perfect. Not everybody you talk to about coming to church is going to show up. Not everybody you witness to is going to bow their head and receive Christ as their Savior. But we just keep working at it. Why? Because we are servants. We're servants. We're servants of the Lord, and there's joy in service. Service that is acceptable is service that is obedient. Finding God's plan for your life and fulfilling it. I wish I had a role of service in this church. I wish I had something that was my responsibility, that if I didn't show up, I have a thing, I like to call it significant service. You say, what do you mean significant service? Well, I mean, it's service like if you didn't show up and you hadn't made provision for somebody else to take your place, you hadn't called somebody and say, hey, I can't be there this Sunday, will you help me out and be in my place? If you didn't show up and it made no difference at all,
come on,
then that's not significant. If it's significant, people are going to be looking around. Where's so-and-so? He's supposed to, she's supposed to, they're supposed to, whatever. And they're looking for you because it's significant. It causes a problem because you're not there. You're the bus driver. You didn't come. You didn't call anybody. Then you didn't have a backup plan. Then it's just not significant service. So ask God to show you. You want to have that joy of the Lord, something that really is a blessing to you, maybe to your family, that helps you to feel like fulfilled, makes you feel like you're an important part. Not that we're striving for importance. I'm not talking about that. God doesn't know any big shots. But you're striving for something that you know you can do, and just ask God to show you where can I plug in? Where am I needed? Go to the preacher when he gets back, and praise the Lord for your preacher. Man, I thank the Lord, and I know he's sent me a couple of the reports, and it looks pretty good. But I want to tell you, he still needs your prayers. And we need to pray for him. But anyway, the joy of salvation, the joy of service. And again, service that is acceptable is service that is obedient. That is finding the will of God and surrendering to be in his will. Say, Lord, I want to do it your way and let God have his way with you. Let me give you number three is the joy of Scripture. Just the joy of you know what? We have the literal Word of God, this King James Version Bible. We have the Word of God. Man, I'm telling you, what a blessing that is. The Bible says in Jeremiah 15:16, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The joy of Scripture, the Word of God. Amen. And that's why the joy of Scripture is not owning a Bible. Excuse me. That's not the joy. The joy of Scripture is not carrying the Bible. bringing it to church, although I think you should. I'm not saying you shouldn't own a Bible or you shouldn't carry a Bible. Bring it to church. All these children just went out here. They ought to see every adult human being in church that's a member of the church, that claims salvation. They ought to see that you're connected to a copy of the Word of God.
Yes.
Have the Bible and bring it. Now, if you didn't bring it today, I'm not fussing at you. I have no idea. But, I mean, maybe you forgot it. Maybe you left it in the car. Maybe it's at home on the table. Who knows? So I'm not fussing at anybody. But what I'm saying is we need to love the Word of God. It needs to be part of our life. The joy, you know, we say the joy of the Lord is my strength. And some of our joy comes from the Scripture. Listen to what he said, Jeremiah 15, 16. I'll read it again. Thy words were found, I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And how important it is to get that joy of the Lord in your life on a regular, steady basis. Have a time daily where you're reading the Bible, maybe even studying the Bible or listening to the Bible. And you know, you say, well, I had to miss church last Sunday. I didn't hear the preacher preach. Well, it's online. Go back, find it, and listen to it then. And apply it to your life. Make this when the Bible is preached, when the Bible is taught, there's an application in there somewhere that'll fit part of your life. And say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Make yourself available. Say, okay, God, I'm getting ready. I'm going to do my due diligence because I'm supposed to read the Bible every day. So I'm going to read at least one. I'm going to read a chapter in Proverbs every day for a month. And I'll read Proverbs through. And then next month I'll start over it again and I'll read it through. Well, and while you're reading it, it's not just a matter of how many words can you get down and how quick can you do it, get it over with. We say, well, I read my Bible today. It's not that. It's taking time saying, God, I may not get very far in the Scripture today because I'm trusting that something's going to just sort of jump off the page into my heart, into my mind, and say, you need to meditate on that one for a little while. Think about it. How can you apply it in your life? Or how is God dealing with you as a result of what he said right there in that verse? God has a message for you in his book. And so that's where you get that joy of the Scripture. You can leave that saying, man, I feel like I met with God today. This is the very Word of God.
Amen.
And I praise the Lord for it. So the joy of Scripture, how important that is. And I just want to encourage you to spend some time on a daily basis in the Word of God, not just reading it, not just, you know, okay, I did my due diligence. I rushed through a chapter. I read the 23rd Psalm. I know I read it yesterday, but I thought I'd read it again today because it's not real long. And when I get over to the 119th Psalm, I think I'll just read a section at a time, you know. Whatever, because God, I love you, and I would like to spend more time with you, but I'm busy. You know, like God has nothing to do. He's just sitting up there in heaven. And So you know, we've got to get that thing down. So joy, sources of joy. Let me give you this one. Number four, the joy of soul winning. Man, there's nothing like it. Soul winning. John 15, verse 11. By the way, John 15, 8 is my life verse. It says this, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. You want to be considered one of God's disciples? Not one of the apostles. I'm not talking about, there's a difference in an apostle. Right. A disciple is someone that sits under a teacher.
Right.
And I want to be his disciple.
Amen.
I want him to constantly be teaching me. But herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Bear much fruit. What's he talking about? He's talking about go out and plant an orchard? No, he's talking about go out and plant the Word of God in people's hearts and see if you can get some folks saved, born again into the family of God, bearing much fruit. I want to bear fruit, but I'd like to bear much fruit. And again, my life verse, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Well, how much is much? Well, if you've not won anybody, one's much. First time you win somebody, that's much. And when you win them and you leave their home or whatever, you'll be walking about that high off the ground.
Yes,
you know, it's a joy. It's a blessing. And you can't wait to tell somebody about it. And you can't wait to do it again. You pray that God would open doors, give you the boldness, give you the help to get the job done. So the joy of Scripture, how important that is. Thy words were found, I did eat them. Thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I wear this little pin sometimes. I had this made the year. How many of you ever heard Jack Hiles preach? Many of you did. Most of you have. And he was one of my heroes, you know, just built the big church there in Hammond and the Bible College and all kinds of things. And I know he had some enemies. He probably had a lot of enemies because he was doing all he could for Christ, you know, that kind of thing. But we had him every year. We had a Revival Fires conference on an annual basis over at Shawnee. And Brother Hiles typically, wasn't every year, but almost every year, he was one of the keynote speakers at that conference. And the year we had him scheduled, planned for that next year, and he passed away. Dr. Hiles went to heaven. And his life verse is right there. His life verse, and I made this little pin, and let me. I don't know if you can see what it is, but it's like a little star, a shooting star, and it's Daniel 12:3.
Yes,
and it says this: "They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that win many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever."
Amen.
Isn't that a great verse? That was his life verse. That was his signature verse. Whenever he signed your Bible, he would typically put that verse under it, under his signature on the Bible. I'm going to stick this in my pocket before I stick it in my thumb. But put it back in there. But boy, that thing, the joy of the Lord, the joy of Scripture. And get the Word of God in your heart. Get a life verse, something that motivates you, something that helps you, something that keeps you going for the Lord Jesus Christ. And a verse that you can flee to when you feel yourself starting to get discouraged or despondent or backslidden or whatever else it might be. Get your feelings hurt. And, you know, don't wear them on your sleeves. You get them hurt all the time. But stand up for Jesus. And then the joy of soul winning. That's number four, the joy of soul winning. We've talked about that a little bit. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." He said, "These things have I spoken unto you." What things are you talking about? Well, Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says this: "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Talking about sowing and reaping. What are we sowing? We're sowing the Word of God. What are we trying to reap? We're trying to bring others to Christ through the Word of God. I can't win anybody to Jesus, but He can win people to Christ through His Word if I'll give it out to people. It's not my Word, it's His Word.
Amen.
You know, I didn't invent the Bible. God gave us the Word of God. In John 15, again, let me read that first verse again there again. It says, John 15, 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." He doesn't want it to be here today, gone tomorrow, up and down. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like one day you're on a mountaintop, and the next day you're down in the valley, knuckles dragging the floor, you just feel all out of sorts? And God wants you to have that joy, that fullness of joy. That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Full. That's great. Psalm 126, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." That is, if you get the picture, if you make the application, if I'm really going out sowing the seed, telling people about Christ, how to be saved, somebody, sooner or later, somebody, if I've learned the plan of salvation, I got me a gospel tract, find me a good one. You probably have several good ones around here, and where it goes verse by verse telling people, this one says, know that God loves you, admit that you're a sinner, and gives the scripture reference, understand there's a penalty for sin, accept that Christ paid that debt for your sin. But different tracts, they phrase it a different way, but it's the same plan of salvation. Put your trust in Jesus alone. Ask him to be your Savior. Here's a simple prayer to guide you. The easiest thing you can do is just give out gospel tracts. Most everybody in the room, I guess, I didn't notice anybody that didn't, but most everybody in the room raised your hand a while ago when I asked about how many are saved, knowing you're going to heaven. I guess it was 100%. I don't know. If it wasn't, it can be before you leave today. If there's anybody that couldn't do it, you can get that settled and you can get that taken care of. So if you're saved, let's see here. What do you have if you are saved? Well, you have the Bible, of course. And so you've memorized some verses about, you heard some verses about how to be saved. That's how you got saved. So why not write those verses down, write them out and memorize them? And then there's something else you got. You got, when you got saved, you got something. Here's what you got. This is big. It's really big. You got a testimony. You know how you got saved. When's the last time you gave your testimony to somebody? When's the last time you said, boy, let me tell you, one time when I was on staff in a church in Bowling Green, Glenville Baptist Church, they had a campaign, and they gave us a little piece of ribbon, a little thin piece of ribbon to wear on our shirt, and that meant something. Usually it meant somebody was having a fundraising drive somewhere, or you were supporting the homeless, or, whatever it is, and so you wore that little ribbon, and inevitably somebody in a day's time is going to say, what's that little ribbon for? What they think, I might want to help out, whatever. What's that little ribbon for? And and the answer was this. Oh, that's to remind me to tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You got a minute? Well, there was a time in my life where I didn't know which way was up. I was confused about things. I knew I was doing things that I shouldn't do, and I was going the wrong direction, and I just didn't know what to do about it. I guess you'd say I was lost. And then one day, somebody came along and showed me some verses from the Bible, how I could trust Christ as my Savior, and I did. And since then, my life has been completely different. And then you close with this. Has anything like that ever happened to you? And if they say, well, no, I don't think so, say, well, do you have a few minutes where I could just take this little gospel tract and read some of these verses to you that was read to me? And just use the tract. You don't have to be a genius. Oh, yeah, if you can read, just read the tract to them, give it to them, and let God use you in that matter. Nancy's brother and his wife, Nancy grew up she went to a Catholic school. She was born into a Catholic family, went to a Catholic school. And after we were married, she got saved. I won't give her testimony right now. Might do it some other time. But she got saved. Well, all of her family, they were true Catholics. And we're talking bingo, going to the boat, going to drink, heavy drinking, and she married me, a Baptist. And we'd show up at the house for a family occasion, and they'd always, here, Lonnie, have a beer. They knew I didn't drink, but they just push it, and she had 8 siblings, 9 total, and now she's the last one. She was the baby. She's the last one come in. She's the last one going out. Her brother passed away just a couple weeks ago, and we had his funeral. But she wanted to witness to him, and she had a Bible, and she got the Bible out and was going to witness to him. He said, put that Bible away or something like that. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And so she did. And then a few weeks later, there was a family event from graduation or something, and we showed up at it, and well, he and his wife happened to show up at it. And she saw him sitting there, and she went by. I think she put her hand on her shoulder and said, "Charles, I'm going to come and see you this week." And he said, "Well, don't bring the Bible." Pretty adamant about it. And she said, "I'm not going to bring the Bible. I'm going to bring the preacher." That was me. So I had to go into the lion's den, you know. So we get to his, she said, "I'll bring you some cream puffs." That was one of his favorite things that she made. And she made some cream puffs, and we went over to the house and we got out, and she took the cream puffs in. And their little granddaughter was there playing there on the porch. He and her were sitting in a swing on the porch or a glider. I got that confused. There was a glider and a swing, and they were either in the swing or the glider, whichever one it was, the other one was empty. And the little kid was playing there, and Nancy went to the little girl and said, "Hey, you want to go for a walk?" And I said, "Thanks a lot." And the little girl said, "Yeah," and they left. So now it's me and this couple. And I sit down there, and I was right across from them. And I said, "You're Catholics, right?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, "You're Roman Catholics. Is that right? You're Roman Catholics?" They said, "Yeah, I'm Roman Catholic." I said, "Has anybody ever showed you in the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome to tell them how they could go to heaven? Has anybody ever showed you that?" And they said, "Well, no, I don't think so." Well, I said, "I knew the priest hadn't." And I said, he just wanted to make sure they were there to run the bingo table, you know, at the annual party or whatever what it was. What did you call it? The annual church picnic. They were there to sell the beer and stuff, you know. But I went through the Romans Road. Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5, 8, 10, 13. We're all sinners. There's a payment for sin. God loved to send his son. Make that payment for us. If we're sorry for our sins, we know we're sinners, and we're truly, genuinely sorry for our sins, want to be forgiven, want to go to heaven when we die, would you be willing to pray this simple prayer and invite Jesus to be your Savior? And I went through that thing, and I said, "Let's bow our heads and pray." And I led them in a simple prayer. Both of them told me they prayed that prayer. And since then, I've had both their funerals. And that was the last one that we had just a couple weeks ago. Or it was last week, was it? How long has it been? A couple weeks, yeah. And what a joy. What a joy. What a victory. And I was able to tell that story to a room that was fuller than this room is right now. And the large part, because it was a big family, a lot of downside to the family, or not downside, a lot of offsprings in the family over the years. And what a joy it was to be able to tell that story, to tell a true story of somebody of their preference getting saved. And many, many hands went up that they'd trusted Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. But the joy of soul winning. John 15:11, let me read it again. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." He said in Psalm 126:5-6, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy, and he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Doubtless. God said, without a doubt, it works. But you got to work it. You got to pay the price to learn a few things, learn a few verses, carry gospel tracts, sharpen up your personal testimony, remember how it happened, be able to tell it to others.
Right.
And don't be afraid to invite somebody to come to church and sit under the preaching of the gospel. You say, "Well, I can't win them." Maybe the preacher can.
Right.
And let's just do it for Jesus' sake and have that joy of soul winning. I had a bonus, but my time is up. I had a number five here. And the joy of getting your prayers answered. I'll just read this real quickly. John 16:24. "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." The key ingredient to getting your prayers answered is praying.
Amen.
Unprayed prayers never get answered. You got to pray. James said, you have not because you ask not. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God will not sustain you. God wants to use you, folks. God wants us all to have that joy of the Lord in our life. And there's some sources of joy I gave you this morning. I hope you're a joyful person looking forward to the service that follows. We better pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your love and blessing. I thank you, Lord, that joy is available. And that joy can be such a testimony to a world around us that's full of darkness and full of anger and full of hatred and full of murder and all kinds of other things. Lord, we who know you and love you ought to stand out and be what we can be as a shining light in a dark world. Lord, I thank you for loving us. I thank you for watching over us. I pray for Brother Jerry today. God bless him. Encourage his heart. Help him to get well soon, completely, Lord. And this treatment, may it do exactly what it's supposed to. And Father, we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Matt.